Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, on this snowy Friday morning, there has been a flurry of activity in the state legislature the past few weeks. A lot of these measures driven by the Democratic majority with support on a lot of these items along party lines. Joining us right now is 63rd District State Representative Jay DeBoyer from Clay Township. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been pretty busy there in Lansing, hasn't it?
Boy, it has been. It has been busy, and I'll tell you what, I'm definitely getting a dose of the reality of what, you know, state politics is like, you know, coming in there as a freshman.
Well, I want to talk about that just a little bit. What's the whole experience, the learning curve, if you will, been like these past several weeks?
You know, it's been interesting for sure, and I sincerely mean that. You know, I'm getting a front row seat to how state government is run. You know, obviously, I'm a Republican. We're in the minority. And, you know, you hear things about, well, it's better to be in a majority, better be in a minority. You get different angles on things. But the truth is to me, I don't know the difference, right? I have never been there in a majority. So, you know, I'm meeting good people. And you know what's funny, Paul? I've always been critical of government my entire career. You may remember that from when I was a clerk. I always believe that government needs to be more efficient, needs to run more efficient. But, you know, there are good people there trying to do good things. Doesn't mean we always agree. And you know as well as I do that, you know, deep down fundamentally, the two major parties, you know, they have some core philosophical differences. And I think that's what you're seeing right now with Democrats in majority, and frankly, a majority, but they also, the majority in the Senate, obviously the governor. So they have, you know, the quote unquote, the trifecta, which allows them to push through their agenda items with no support on the Republican side necessarily. And, you know, that's politics and that's results of elections and that's the consequences of elections, whether I personally like that or not. Right.
Well, and one of your agenda items, certainly that we talked about during the campaign, one of the reasons you decided to leave the clerk's office to go to Lansing was for election legislation to make elections more secure. You've got a measure that you're introducing that would add a digital photo from the Secretary of State's office to their qualified voter file. Tell us a little bit more about what your plan is.
Sure. So, you know, we all obviously lived through the 2020 election and, you know, claims, allegations, truth to some things, what I would argue, maybe I wouldn't say not truth, but unsupported allegations to other things, perhaps. And the one of the things that I just think is most important is that the person that walks in that casts their ballot in a polling location indeed be the person they claim they be, right? And when Prop 2 passed in November, that provided for the ability to just purely sign an affidavit that says you are who you claim to be. Well, that's great. And by no means do I want to prevent any individual from being able to cast a legal ballot. But, you know, in today's society, we have to have identification for everything, right? Everything we do, you have to present identification. And the Secretary of State possesses anyone that has a Michigan driver's license, anyone that has a Michigan ID, the Secretary of State possesses their digital image. You know, previously as the county clerk, I was responsible for the issuing of concealed pistol licenses. We had a direct interface with our database that allowed us to access that image of you, Paul, if you so choose to get a concealed pistol license, and put that image right on your concealed pistol license. So this isn't something that would become unique with the sharing of that image that's on your driver's license. This is already occurring. And I think that in reality, the beauty of that would be that we're just adding another layer of security to the voting process. And so essentially what would occur is that in the poll book, in the polling location, if this were to get traction and pass in Lansing, when you come in, Paul, and you say, I am me and I would like to vote, they bring up your voter file, and there'd be a, your image and your signature as it is in the qualified voter file now. You know, I think that that is reasonable. I think that that's logical, especially now that we do have the provision that you don't necessarily need to possess your ID when you walk in to cast your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be supported broadly across both parties.
I was going to ask you about that because this gets referred to the House Elections Committee. You will need bipartisan support to get this out of committee and up for a vote. Do you feel good about your chances there?
Well, I do feel good. I was actually appointed to the Elections Committee last week. I was not appointed early. And, you know, again, I don't want to throw stones, but there's a lot of politicking going on early. We have a couple of municipal clerks in the House. I'm the only previous county clerk that's in the House, you know, chief elections official of a county. And they originally did not put me on elections, although the ask was made by our leadership from our party that I be put on elections because of my qualifications. And they did not do so, but they have since acquiesced after a continual discussions about it. And I will be on the Elections Committee next week. So my hope is that, you know, we'll be able to communicate why this is important, be clear about it, and get bipartisan support on it to get it out of committee.
Democrats have been pushing a package of gun legislation. One plan that requires universal background checks for firearm transfers and creating universal firearms licensing. You're against that. How come?
I am. Well, I mean, if you want to start at the root level, you know, I am a constitutionalist, and I think those first few words that everybody on earth that understands the United States Constitution knows shall not be infringed are very important words. I don't know how you get around that. The argument that's pushed back at me when I bring that up is that, well, what are we supposed to do about these criminals that break the law and do these heinous acts, and what are we supposed to do to stop them? How do we prevent them from possessing guns? Well, the truth is, I mean, there's almost an oxymoron in that sentence. So what we need to do is we need to pass more laws that the criminal then won't violate. It makes no sense to me. And so what we're doing is, you know, we've had a requirement of a purchase permit and a pistol registration for a long time. But now what we're doing is we're going to long guns, shotguns, rifles, those kinds of things. And whether they admit it or not, whether the proponents of this admit it or not, that is a de facto gun registration. And that, to me, is where the government starts to tread across the individual's right to keep and bear arms that's granted to them by the Second Amendment. And frankly, two things I think are very important. Number one, the bad guy that is determined to cause havoc does not care what the law says. What we've just done is we've put a burden on law-abiding citizens. What we've just done is potentially caused you, Paul, to be a criminal if you buy a shotgun from your neighbor and you are unaware that this even exists. So I am opposed to it. I'm opposed to any legislation that, number one, is going to create a de facto gun registration, because I think it's important that we understand that the intent of the Second Amendment was not to allow me to own a hunting rifle. The intent of the Second Amendment was to allow me to possess a weapon to defend myself against tyranny. You have to remember where the founders had just walked out of. And by the way, Paul, it was so important that it was the second thing that they put in the Bill of Rights, right behind speech and religion. So I get the emotion of it, but I don't get the belief that treading on individuals' liberties circumvents other people's fears. And so, you're going to see the rest of this package come through. Is there anything in it, common sense? Maybe there's pieces, but in the totality, it doesn't prevent crime. The individual at Michigan State University, you know, and I spoke to this the other evening, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we have going on in our country right now, and I'll be very frank, is that laws are not being enforced. Plea deals are being cut. Some people are not being charged. We have lots of things like catch and release where they're never even detained. The individual that wreaked havoc at Michigan State University had been arrested 3 years prior. His charge was reduced on a plea deal. He ended up moving from a felony to a misdemeanor, never served any time in jail, and was granted probation. And because of that plea deal, it resulted in his ability to acquire those weapons he used to cause havoc. So, yes, I am a gun rights person, Paul, but I am a strong advocate for mandatory penalties when you have a gun that you commit a crime with.
Yeah, certainly.
And see, this is the problem. We can make lots of laws, but if we don't enforce them, they're irrelevant.
Absolutely right. Yeah, you're 100% right. Without enforcement, those laws mean nothing, and so that's something worth looking into for sure. The House Elections Committee, I think, got the right person with your background. I think you'll certainly have a strong voice in that committee. What else are you advocating for, or what's on the horizon, Jay, as far as your agenda goes?
Yeah, so I do have a couple of things that I'm working on with. I'm working on with Senator Dan Lowers, which, uniquely enough, obviously we share a county. We are creating a no ownership of specific types of land by state actors that the United States State Department list as, you know, non-commerce desirable countries, and the countries that are on the terrorist watch list. And I think that's reasonable. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday that just came out that China had acquired technology from our, frankly, the entire parts list and diagram for the F-22.
I saw that.
We just wrote a check, you know, to Ford and a Chinese battery company that's coming here. They're going to bring in a few hundred at minimum, you know, Chinese nationals to come in as quote unquote trainers. That's great. Fine. However, it's a stated mission and a stated goal of the Chinese Communist Party that runs their country. And it is actually a law in China that if you are a corporation or a citizen, you have an obligation to work and spy on behalf of the Chinese nationals, the Chinese government. And so that concerns me, Paul. It mm-hmm. concerns me greatly. And so we're just putting together common sense stuff that just says, look, China can't buy all of our agricultural land in Michigan, right? I think that's common sense. And the reality is we're going to allow the State Department of the United States to determine who those countries are. We're not going to just pick countries under their criteria. We're going to just say if they're on these lists that the State Department puts out, they're not eligible.
Makes sense.
And, you know, will that get traction? Will that come out of committee? Will that make it to the floor? I don't know if it will or won't, Paul, because, again, in the minority, you try to create common sense legislation that is bipartisan and everybody can get behind.
There you go. Jay, appreciate your time. Oh, I wanted to mention, too, back in your home district in the 63rd on Harsin's Island, terrible fire the other day. I don't know if you've been in touch with any of the folks from Harsin's.
No, I did. I mean, I started getting text messages almost immediately when it had started. We were in Lansing, obviously, in session, and I tried to keep up to date on texting back and forth. But I'll tell you what, if you look back at the history of that old club, Paul, it's iconic. You know, that has been there for, gosh, I'm going by memory here, but it seems like 150 years or more, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's going to be one of those things that I think is a state treasure that we're really going to have to rally behind to recreate. Because, boy, that is a lost landmark and an iconic thing that really defines that South Channel, Lake St. Clair, the southern blue water area. And, man, oh, man, what a tragedy. And I feel for the people that lost their homes down there, you know, the just the historic nature of it. So I can promise you that I'm going to be a tremendous advocate on the rebuild on this thing.
All right, very good. Jay, always good to talk to you. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Enjoy the snow.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye.